Host your holiday party at Apex Entertainment this year. Book early and save. Receive a $15 Apex gift card for each guest with holiday parties booked before October 1st. With flexible event space, attractions, and customizable menus, Apex is the perfect holiday party destination. For more information, contact the sales team or go to apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I wanted to ask you about momentum in that you have obviously preached for years about the day-by-day, game-by-game type of approach. But what role do you think that winning and the type of momentum that comes with that allows for guys to be a little more engaged and enjoying themselves in their preparation that leads to success? Like, do you believe in momentum in that sense, that people change when things are going well as compared to when they're facing adversity?
Well, you know, all people are different. So I don't know that everybody reacts the same to everything. But you know, whatever it is, win or lose, you've got to turn a page quickly and move on to the next challenge, because it's those things don't carry too far, and they don't carry too far in a game either. Make a couple of bad plays, you can lose momentum in a hurry. So, you know, really try to just focus on each play, one play at a time, and each day, one day at a time, and make the most you can out of that opportunity. And if you get too caught up in what happened in the past, you'll miss an opportunity in the future. And think too much about what's too far ahead, you miss the opportunity that's in front of you. So that's what I've always tried to emphasize. But you know, certainly there's a positivity to winning, and gives you a good motivation to come in and do the things that you did that helped you to win, to do more of them and improve. So, you know, that's a good thing too, but you know, we've all got to learn from our mistakes, and we've had, you know, games go the other way that we've had to learn from those too. So I think that's the NFL season. It's a roller coaster. Every team goes through challenges and ups and downs and deals with different things, and it's just part of it.
Bill Belichick with his thoughts on momentum. And let's be honest, just something that gives us a couple minutes to wipe down here between that crossover. It's a big boy Tuesday, Maz, here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. You know what that means?
Yep.
The big boy himself, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, joins us for the program for the next 2 hours. He's is so important, he's now sponsored. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Hi, Greg.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Greg.
How do you feel about momentum? You think the Pats are onto something here?
I think they are. I think they're building. But the question is, you know, what they do each week. They need to build momentum or stack success, however you want to term it. They need to keep.
Do you feel they're on the verge of doing it?
Yeah, I think they're getting there.
I like your reluctance. Go.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say it yet.
Me neither.
And I'm not into half victories. Look, that was a good win on Sunday. I thought that.
Wait a minute, half victories?
Or yeah, isn't that what Maz said yesterday?
Half credit.
Half credit victory.
Partial credit.
Partial credit.
No, I thought that was a good, solid win.
Full credit
on Sunday.
Full credit. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that they made enough plays on offense, and defensively they played well. Now, I do want to say, I think people have caught up to Justin Herbert and the Chargers. Basically, what the Patriots did against Justin Herbert, the Ravens did 2 weeks earlier,
they're
taking away his first read. And it usually in the middle of the field. The Patriots took away a lot of the middle of the field. They didn't get much there. Took care of the outside well. Didn't give up any big plays. The problem with the Chargers, and this sort of reminds me of the Patriots, I want to say circa 2010 offense, where they aren't able to run the ball well enough. So that means that the defense doesn't really have to think about it. And yeah, you know, look, they gave up a couple of really bad plays in the running game. But other than that, you know, I think they're just fine with the Chargers getting 5 yards, and I think every team is. And now they're playing coverage against against the Chargers, and it's giving Herbert difficulties, just like Tom Brady in a stretch there in his career where people did not respect their run, and you can't drop back and pass all the time. And the Patriots certainly have the number of this team. I think this is a real thing with the Chargers that they know, and that's why I picked the Patriots all last week. It's just a really good matchup for them. They just got to keep it, regardless of whether this was half credit, full credit, whatever. They need to keep moving forward. They were at 500, leaving that stadium against the Chargers on December 6th last year. And they got their butts whooped on Sunday in the same stadium against the Rams. They need to go forward. They cannot go back.
What are your concerns?
I'm not overly concerned about Mac Jones. He did not play well on Sunday. I think if he plays well, then the Patriots win by a couple scores. They win easily, and I thought the Patriots really controlled that game. Even when they were trailing, I thought that the game was right where they wanted it. Concerns about this team. A little bit with the passing offense. I think Aguilar, he has to get involved early, which they did on that nice pass, or else he has some issues. There were a couple plays where he threw kind of tantrums after, you know, Mac Jones didn't find him. Apparently that is not an issue. They love him on the team. There's not an issue with that. He's just blowing off steam. I think that the defense still has some very real issues in the run game. And a good running team is going to exploit that, and they'll have trouble with balanced teams from here on out. Against the Chargers, they can get away with it because they don't really have to worry about it. So those are my big concerns. We'll see with the secondary. This was a good job by the group, but we'll see going forward.
All right, we'll take your calls with Bedard over the next couple hours. Jimmy, if you can release the hounds, thank you. At 617-779-0985. Maz, do you have anything for Gregory?
My big thing with the team is the consistency. Like you say, do they have any kind of momentum? Not yet they don't. Not yet they don't.
No?
No. And so you don't build it in, you know, 2 weeks when one of them's against the Jets.
Well, but... So you don't go back and say they've been building something in those losses to Tampa and Dallas?
Not yet.
Do you, Greg? I mean, because I think Sunday, I told you I would do this, that if they win Sunday, I'll go back and start giving you some partial credit and some moral victories, because then it's all, you know, part of a piece. If, you know, moral victories only exist if you win some of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you go 0-7 on all your close games and there are no moral victories, if you go 4-3, then, okay, win some, lose some, and you're actually a team that can play with these. So this is all what I'm saying. I think you can start to build a narrative that they were slowly building through those close losses, broke through against the Jets, proved it on Sunday, like that kind of thing.
I think that what I will say about this team at this point in time, and this is what I look at every week and for every Patriots team, they are executing a little bit better every week, and that's important. That's the name of the game. It doesn't matter how much talent you have. If you don't execute, it doesn't matter. And the Patriots are executing better. I leave each game after watching the film less frustrated every week. So I think they are building something there. And I think that the thing that I took from in this game was the second half. You just take the second half. That was the team that we thought we were going to get. Run the ball well. Damian Harris, by the way, has turned into a spectacular back. He's tremendous. Even when he gets 3 or 4 yards, it's a great run. And if guys stopped holding, you know, he'd have like 200 yards a game. He is on a great streak. The offensive line is playing better. Pressure was not an issue with Mac Jones this week. The defense and special teams basically won you the game when the offense sort of lagged behind a little bit. And this was the formula that we thought they were going to have to win with. We thought we would get it earlier from the defense and special teams. It took them longer than we thought, but it has now arrived. It's the middle of the season, and that's a really good thing for this team moving forward.
So I was just going to ask you, Greg, when you look at the performance, let's just keep it to offense and defense at the moment and set special teams to the side. Give me a brief assessment of those two areas, offense and defense.
So I think that the rushing offense is really good right now. I think it should be the backbone of this team. I think that probably Josh McDaniels went in at halftime, realized that he contributed to Mac Jones getting sped up in this game. And look, sometimes there's no really root cause, because I look at both quarterbacks. Mac Jones and Justin Herbert basically played the same. Their stats were the same. Both completed 51.4% of their passes. They both got sped up a little bit. The Patriots had more pressure than the Chargers generated. But for Mac Jones, and we've seen this out of Brady in the past too, sometimes pocket quarterbacks just get sped up. To me, it was the Chargers team speed probably threw him off a little bit. And, you know, I'm not overly concerned about it. You will get games like this. The most important thing with Mac Jones is that he found a way to settle down. I think that started with the running game. McDaniels going back to that in the second half, giving him more of a rhythm, and they made big plays, you know, down the stretch to win the game. Defensively, I think a lot of it is to be determined. Like I said, the teams that are going to give the Patriots the most trouble defensively are the balance teams. The teams that can put 200 yards rushing on them. Teams that just do one thing really well, like drop back to pass like the Chargers, they can handle that. They can scheme that. But it's the other teams that give them trouble.
Give each side of the ball a grade. What would you give the offense for the game?
The offense in general,
as
overall.
A whole, overall.
C, probably.
Okay, defense.
B.
Don't look at your clipboard. Yeah.
Well, I just had to refresh myself.
Well, so, Greg, my question is, so are we maybe overrating what the defense did on Sunday and it was maybe more about the
you
Chargers?
You just love to open up that trap door, don't you? You want me to walk into that trap
door?
No,
these two have been undermining the performance since they got here.
I thought the defense was good on Sunday.
I thought it was average. Now that you've watched the film, was that more about Herbert and things that, you know, now he might be exposing some issues he might have, or was the defense actually that good?
I think it was both. I think that the Patriots know what Justin Herbert is right now in that passing offense. I think, and even Chris Sims, I was listening to his podcast on the way in, he said the same thing. He thinks the NFL is figuring out the Chargers. And that Joe Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, now we're halfway through the season. The Ravens completely had the Chargers number the week before, before their bye week. Now the Patriots, even Sims says the league has figured out the Chargers. They're going to need to do other things. But I thought it was both. I thought the Patriots had a really good plan. They knew what they needed to stop Justin Herbert, and they executed. So, you know, was it both? Yeah. But if the Patriots don't execute, they don't win that game on Sunday.
Today is also trade deadline day, 4 o'clock. We have just about an hour and 45 minutes to go until the NFL trade deadline. That will constitute our DM Van Lines move around the league. Making a move requires research and guesswork. Take the extra effort out of moving and choose My Mover, DN Van Lines. It's the mover of all the guys around here at the station. They are also an approved mover of the Department of Defense, so you don't need our endorsement. That endorsement should suffice. 1-800-51-MOVER for our friends at DN Van Lines, the moves around the league. What are you expecting for the move around the league here with the Patriots? You expect them to do anything, Greg?
The consensus around the league from talking to other personnel executives is that the Patriots will not do anything. Now, I could tell you what they are looking for is, any guesses?
So I would go corner.
Linebacker.
Yeah, I'd go linebacker too.
Combination defensive end. Okay. A run-pass type of guy. That's what I've been told that they are looking for. And look, I'm on board with maybe another cornerback. Of course, they can't give up more than the used footballs that they got for Stephon Gilmore. Or I've always been on, I want a speedy slot receiver for them, maybe an Andy Isabella. But when you look at what's gone on with this team, especially defensively and on Sunday with those running plays, maybe they've finally come to the realization, thank goodness, that they cannot have Dietrich Wise out there in 3-4 base defense against a team that can run. He gets shoved back. Rashawn Slater, the rookie left tackle, literally blocked him 7 yards down the field. There was a double team where he just got completely shoved back. I think that was the 75-yarder. It's an issue. If they are indeed looking for that position, it tells me they're not expecting Byron Cowart back anytime soon. Carl Davis seems to be dealing with an injury thing, so maybe they think they're going to be thin there. And they could use another good run defender in place of Dietrich Wise against good running teams down the stretch.
Okay, thoughts on the Patriots on Sunday, thoughts on the Patriots going forward, thoughts on the Patriots at trade deadline day. Your calls with Bedard right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Come to Nova Farms. Nova Farms is the official co-sponsor of the Felger and Mass podcast. We have the biggest selection of recreational cannabis in New England. Must be 21 plus to buy. Our dispensaries are located in Framingham and Attleboro, Massachusetts. Our retail staff are on special teams.
We give big hits like a blitz.
You get the extra point.
Sports!
For our latest content and product announcements, follow us on Instagram at Nova Farms.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts state license numbers MR281379 and MR282516.
What do you want to talk about?
Mike in Framingham, what?
Felger and Mass.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And on the offensive line as well, what have you noticed from them over the last couple weeks? You mentioned some of the penalties, obviously, you like to have back. But are they putting you in a place to win? Are they giving Mac the time that he needs to make plays and et cetera?
Well, it's when you put the whole... all five guys together, it's and it's not going to be perfect, especially against a good defensive front and, a team that gives as many multiples as the Chargers did yesterday. But again, we've gotten better collectively and we've gotten better individually. Again, each game is its own, brings out its own challenges. But, I thought overall we, pass protected better than we did in some other games earlier in the year. But overall, offensively, our passing game wasn't as good as what it has been or what it could be or what it needs to be. So, and that's a combination of, again, all 11 guys working together and coaching and everything else. So do we have enough time? In some places we do, not every play. We got to try to develop more consistency and just overall more efficiency in the passing game.
Hey, Bill, after we spoke to you last night, we talked to Mac and he said he felt like maybe he was going things a little bit too quickly and that was maybe impacting the timing of the passing game. Was there anything that the Chargers were doing that was just sort of throwing things off from a timing standpoint? It just looked like the connection between him and some of the pass catchers wasn't there in some instances.
Yeah. Again, as I said earlier, I think just overall we didn't have our best day as a team passing the ball yesterday, and we've had better days than that. Hopefully we'll improve on that.
All right, there's Bill's take on it. Greg, before we get to the calls, your thoughts? He originally said that he thought the offensive line was better. Do you think the offensive line is coming together, one? And two, their passing game problems on Sunday were the fault of who, mostly?
I think the offensive line is coming together. I like this version with Owenu at tackle, and some guys are just better at tackle. It's a little bit slower out there. The blocking assignments are a little bit more clearly defined than they are inside. Things happen a lot faster inside at guard, and not everybody can handle that, or it takes some guys a lot of time. I think Owenu at this point in his career I think he's better out there. I think Ted Karras gives you, yeah, he's limited in some areas, but he gives you a toughness and he's really smart and I think helps that unit. I'm not a fan of Isaiah Wynn at left tackle. I think the Patriots are probably regretting giving him the fifth year option, but the deadline, they kind of didn't have a choice. It was very early in the offseason. I think if the deadline was more like training camp, they probably would have passed on it. When Trent Brown comes back, if he comes back this season, and I think the Patriots have taken the approach of, we're not even thinking about line combinations down the road. We just need to get Trent Brown healthy. We need him for the stretch run. We're not even entertaining putting him on the field until we know this calf thing is done. And that could happen this year. It might not happen this year. We don't know. If he comes back and he's ready to go, I am seriously looking at putting him in at left tackle and benching Wynn outright. Possibly moving to guard, but if Karras is still doing a good job, I'm leaving it as is. As far as the passing offense and why it didn't work on Sunday,
who's the first thing to blame? Quarterback, line, quarterback. Receivers?
Quarterback, clearly to me. Mac Jones had an off day, and that's not to rip Mac Jones. Tom Brady has had days like this. He Mac Jones, actually, there was one play where he looked like Brady, where Brady gets sped up, seeing ghost a little bit, and he starts bobbing his head up and down in the pocket. Mac Jones had a couple of reps like that on Sunday. Mac Jones kind of got a little bit out of sorts. He sort of got a little bit outside of his body. He needed to calm the hell down, which I think they did at halftime. He was getting a little, I don't know how to describe it, he started getting the Peyton Manning face a little bit out there towards the end of the first half, and you're like, oh God, no, not this guy, not your quarterback. Because you're so used to Tom Brady being, most of the time, pretty stoic back there, deals with everything, hard to see, whether he's feeling it or not. You could see it on Mac Jones's face that he was frustrated, that things were not going his way. He's, whining a little bit for calls and things like that. I'm sure Mac Jones will watch this back and be like, I need to be better from that. And I'm sure he will. He learns everything every week as a rookie quarterback. But he was by far, in my opinion, the reason why the passing offense was held back. But look, he was also let down. Kendrick Bourne, in my opinion, he dropped that ball in the end zone, cost them 4 points. He fumbles in the red zone, cost them 3 points. That's a touchdown right there from Kendrick Bourne. There's also some route issues. Aguilar, there was one route where he turned in, and it looked like Mac Jones, he threw a little bit wide of him. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, Mac threw it exactly where he needed to. Aguilar turned the wrong way. And there's some of that stuff going on in the offense. Hunter Henry, when Mac Jones hit Hunter Henry in the leg, Mac was a little bit quick there, and he was for the entire first half. But also, it was similar to a Jacoby Myers play a week or two ago where, in a big spot, third down, there's a free rusher coming, and you got Hunter Henry, like, stutter-stepping, trying to make a move, and it's like, dude, get open. You don't have all day. Your quarterback is under duress. There's a free rusher. You should see that, and you should turn around and be a hot guy for him. Instead, he's there trying to pose and make a sweet move on the defensive back.
Okay, calls with Bedard here, as promised. Greg and Weston, what do you got, Greg?
A comment and a question. I hate to steal anybody's thunder, but Jalen Mills should be all three downs for this week. And the other one is, would Gilmore have played for us this week in spite of the salary issue? I'm just, he's going to play for Carolina.
Yeah.
Would he have played for us?
No. He wasn't playing. He wasn't reporting for you. He wasn't getting on the field for you, but he'll do it for Carolina. That blows. It's got to leave a bad taste in your mouth. Jalen Mills out there at corner. How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I didn't notice Jalen Mills that much this week. I don't know. Maybe it was at the end of the game because I haven't quite finished. I have like two drives left on the defensive film. And look, the Chargers got that, cheap garbage time touchdown.
Okay, I mean, it was garbage time kind of, but the Patriots were still trying to defend it. It wasn't like they were playing way back.
I know, but you want them to run clock, and you're fine. If they score, all right, on that touchdown, he was not good.
Thank you.
Okay, but outside of that, I didn't even really recognize him, and I thought that the Patriots did a nice job on their outside guys.
Fine. What was the other thing? I'm sorry, what was the thing that he just said?
Gilmore.
How come he wouldn't play for you, but he'll play for Carolina?
You're saying that. I don't know that. I was always in the camp of, I was told he was not healthy and that the reason that Belichick traded him is that they weren't sure whether he was ever going to be healthy this year, and they thought that even if he does play, a 75% Stephon Gilmore is not worth what they were going to pay him. That's what I was told.
I don't buy it.
Well, I buy that they didn't want to pay him money. I'll always buy that. That's the reason behind most things that they and NFL teams do. So you want to tell me it's a money thing? I do buy that. But I don't buy that he would have played for you.
Like, yeah, but look, I understand you say that and other people say that, and you guys might be right. I don't know. But all I could tell you is he went to Carolina. He was not immediately passed on his physical. He got cleared. He was practicing for a week. He did not play that first weekend. So that, to me, tells me Stephon Gilmore was not perfectly healthy when he was here. Or if he was perfectly healthy, he would have been out there a week before. He was not.
Peter King wrote that, I think that the sublime quote of the week belongs to Panthers corner Steph Gilmore, asked after Carolina's win in Atlanta if next week's game against New England would have a little extra meaning for him. Gilmore said, quote, a lot extra. He was not going to play for you, and he's got a hair across his ass for you. John in the truck. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Felgie, I want to make the observation that there are three players on the defense who seem to have gotten a lot more playing time recently, and that's been a difference maker. Christian Barmore, Josh Uche, and Juwan Bentley, especially Barmore. He looked like a disruptive force on Sunday.
Let me stop you there. Your thoughts, Greg?
On Barmore? No question.
Those three guys.
I didn't hear the other two.
Okay, Uche and Juwan Bentley.
Okay. Josh Uche, to me, when he's on the field, sometimes he has some issues in the run game, which is why he's not playing on the first two downs. But to me, he's an impact guy. He looks fast. He makes plays. He made some plays on Sunday. Christian Barmore, no question he has been a home run draft pick for the Patriots. A lot of the team, look, he slid to the second round. A lot of the teams passed on him. A lot of teams that could have used him. There was some stuff out of Alabama that scared a lot of teams off. The Patriots ignored it. He was there at the top of the second round, and they took him. And so far, he has been terrific, and he has gotten better by the week. And now you sort of see when you have, you know, Matthew Judon, even though he is a game plan guy, where the other offense has to come into the game and say, we have to take care of Matthew Judon, he's still wrecking games. So that tells you how impactful he is. You have Judon, who's impactful. Barmore is impactful. I want him to play more and more. I think he's earned that. I think he's done a good job. There are very rarely plays where I say, you know, he's overmatched. He shouldn't be out there. He holds up well against double teams in the run game, certainly better than a guy like Dietrich Wise. To me, he should be playing every down. Bentley, yeah, fine. I mean, he makes some good plays. He makes some bad plays. I mean, you know, he's been fine. I'd say he's been better this year, but to me, he's not impactful. I mean, when you see him running through the line, to me, that's a called play, sort of the Jamie Collins special, you know, in the past. It's not him reading the play and making a play. It's designed that way.
Okay, three up. I'm sorry, Matt.
Just quickly, Barmore played more snaps than any guy in the defensive line.
But he doesn't start, does he? Or does he start some weeks?
He started last week. I don't know if he started this week.
He wasn't in the starting. He's not listed on the play sheet in the starting lineup. So I don't know what to tell you there.
Correct.
But either way, there are your thoughts on those three guys. More three up, three downs with Bedard and Maz right after Big Jim Murray's update.
Curious about legal cannabis? Visit Garden Remedies dispensaries in Newton, Melrose, and Marlboro to discover the cutting edge of modern wellness. The first physician-founded and woman-founded cannabis dispensary in Massachusetts. Garden Remedies grows and produces all its own products. First, cultivating the plants, then using only the finest buds to craft top-of-the-line edibles, lotions, and other products. So, go see what's growing at Garden Remedies in Newton, Melrose, and Marlboro, or GardenRemedies.com. Please consume cannabis responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. Possible health risk associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration, FDA. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harm. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risk associated with consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts state license number MR281495.
Felger. Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw!
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win! Bucks win! Bucks win the Super Bowl! And there the cannons go!
Cannon.
Fire them! Keep on firing them!
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, it's that time of the week. Three up, three down with Bedard. Maz chimes in as well. It is such a powerful segment. It's been sold. Three up, three down with Greg Bedard is presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time is Tully time. Please drink responsibly. So again, Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey brings you three up, three down. Greg, give me your three up all at once and your three down all at once. Just start with the three up, please, first.
Matthew Judon. Damian Harris, Christian Barmore.
Okay, so you've sort of hit on all these guys. On Judon, you're saying teams are starting to game plan for him and he's still breaking through.
Yeah, he's a force. They cannot stop him. And the thing is, he's gotten better within the scheme. There have been times where, especially in coverage, he's made some pretty glaring errors. There was that one sort of bracket coverage where what game was that? Because you were like, you know, the Saints game. He blew a coverage there.
Oh, yeah,
there
with Alvin Kamara.
There was another coverage that he blew in another game that led to a big play. But he seems to be getting more used to the scheme, so he's getting better. And they just can't block him. Now, look, they do put him against the right tackle a lot, and especially this week, the Chargers' right tackle was freaking horrible. The right side of their line was awful. And he's dominating that matchup every week. And so, you know, that's great, and it's not to take anything away from him because he's been just tremendous, but they cannot stop him. I think Damian Harris, in my mind, he gets better every single week. He not only is his vision better, his lateral first cut is spectacular. Then he has this burst right now. And I just think back some of the runs this week, and there's some of the runs that I gave him pluses on. They only went for like 2, 3, 4 yards. But any other running back, like say Sony Michel, they go for 0 or -1. But that's how good Damian Harris has been. And it's helped keep this offense ahead of the chains. And Barmore, like I said before, he's just been a force. And they now have that inside-outside thing going with Barmore and Judon. And it is tough for teams to handle.
Maz, you're 3 stars.
Adrian Phillips, Christian Barmore, Nick Folk. So Phillips made the 2 biggest plays of the game as far as the Patriots are concerned. Barmore speaks for himself. He's becoming an absolute presence in the middle of the line. Nick Folk, 20 of 21 on field goals this year, has only missed the 56-yarder in the rain that hit the upright.
Before you get to the downs, real quick, Greg, do you think it's smart for them to be playing Judon on special teams, or are they putting him in harm's way?
I would not play that guy in special teams. I mean, he plays so many snaps. I mean, I thought even, what was it, the Jets game, he was out there late. And I was like, what the hell is Matthew Judon doing out there? You know, he is basically the entirety of your pressure. In this game, I had Matthew Judon for 9 quarterback pressures. I had Christian Barmore for 3.5, and I had the rest of the team 1.5. I mean, Judon is your pressure. He's the reason, most of the reason why Justin Herbert got sped up in this game. And should you lose him for any reason, good luck.
3 down, Greg, all at once.
3 down. Kyle Duggar, Mac Jones, Kendrick Bourne. I thought that Duggar, look, you guys know I love the kid. I love his potential. I love his athletic ability.
He should be better.
And he was also not good in the run game this week. He missed that. He had a chance at a tackle in the backfield, missed it. He was part of the debacle that was that 75-yard run where he over-pursued it. So did Adrian Phillips. It's part of the reason why I did not have Phillips on my 3-up list. I thought, yes, he had the 2 interceptions that were mostly the Chargers' fault, but he also had some pretty iffy plays. Mac Jones, we talked about, got sped up. Didn't really need to be. He needs to settle himself down, do his breathing exercises a little bit more on the sideline. And Kendrick Bourne, like we talked about, 7 points just on him, in my opinion, and that just can't happen.
Duggar sucks in the pass game. I mean, he's got to get better there. My 3 were Jones, Hightower, Bourne, those 3. Hightower was another one on that 75-yard run, Greg, who over-pursued it, ran past the hole. And, he's getting better. He's more engaged than he was earlier in the year, but he's still not having any impact on the defense.
In Hightower's defense, I thought he was okay this week. I did not think he was at fault on the 75-yard run. I thought he was right where he was supposed to be. The problem was Wise was completely a non-factor on the play. And then Adrian Phillips and Duggar both over-pursued and were out of their gaps. Hightower was where he was supposed to be, and he might have looked bad on the replay. Somebody was supposed to be in that hole. It was supposed to be Duggar or Phillips, and they both over-pursued.
Quickly, any indication that Bill Belichick's taking more control of the defense?
Tough to tell this week. I mean, from what we saw, it looked like it was the same as the Jets game where he is devouring the pictures between scenes. There was even a camera shot during the game where he's going through it and the offense is out there doing its thing. He's doing that more and more every week. They also had a good shot where from behind Belichick where his hand was on his headset, the what's it called? The belt. And so he's pressing the button to talk to people, and I think he's doing that more and more. I don't think he's making the calls. I think Steven is, but I think Bill has a huge influence on what they're doing now on a down-to-down basis, whereas earlier in the season, he was letting those guys go on their own, and it was not working third and 25.
Okay. Well, I'm curious who he was talking to when he threw that challenge flag. Let's pick up on those wasted timeouts when we come back in our long commercial-free segment. And I promise, your calls go nowhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Football season's back, and I got just the thing to make game day and every day even better. Cannabis delivery from LanternNow.com. With Lantern, I can get products from Boston's best dispensaries delivered the same day I order, so I spend game days with my buds instead of getting bud. Lantern's always a win because I can skip the trip, the traffic, and the line. Even better, Lantern Now delivers to all of Boston and beyond. So go to LanternNow.com/gym to get started and follow at GetLanternNow on socials to stay up to date on all things cannabis all season long.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Could you just take us through the other two timeouts that you guys used in the second half there? It looked like one was, it looked like Christian was running off the field. And then the other, it was hard for us to tell up in the press box, maybe what led to that. Could you just kind of explain those two calls?
Yeah, I didn't think we were clean on a substitution, and the offensive timeout, we didn't get away from the pile and the scrum after the play, and honestly there's no chance to get the play in before the 15 second cutoff, so couldn't get the play in.
Would you ever sorry, last one, I think both of those penalties are 5 yard penalties. In a close game like that one, would you ever consider taking a penalty just to hold on to the timeout for later?
Yeah, I don't think in either one of those situations. I mean, you know, once you start giving up possessions, and if you think a possession's worth a timeout, then I guess you could do that. I don't think giving up possessions worth a timeout.
Before we go back to the phones, Greg, just a thought on this. Both the bad replay challenge. We spent a lot of time on this yesterday. Consult the podcast if you want our thoughts. Also, another timeout, so they didn't take 12 men on the field. Another timeout, so they didn't take a delay of game. He just explained it right there. You might be tempted to take 5 yards in a given situation like they did before the final field goal. Those 5 yards didn't matter. But apparently those other situations, nope, Bill felt that burning a timeout was more important. That's not really the second guess. The second guess is, Greg, why does this continue to happen to this team?
The only thing that I can point to is it has to be something with the game operation. Without Ernie Adams up there, I would assume that Matt Patricia has been put into that role. Maybe he grows into it, but he's no Ernie, that's for sure. And look, Ernie had, 30 years into doing that? So I'm sure he learned on the fly, but it's not working well. I mean, like, that holding review, first of all, none of Belichick's explanation really works for me. I think that, when you get in that situation, you throw the flag, they come over, and he could have been like, so who was the flag on?
Right.
And once he knows that, then he's just like, oh, well, forget it. I thought you said so. I'm sure they would have picked up the flag and it would have been fine. You know, they want to get things right too. But I mean, you also have to have somebody up there who has common sense where it's, even if it holds, it's second and 12. Like, and you've been all over Justin Herbert the whole game. You know what's going on. You've almost sacked him. There was another pressure in the end zone on the other side of the field where Judon and Barmore are going after him, and almost he's got to throw it away to avoid getting a safety. Like, you have the game right where you want it. There was no reason to force the issue there. You, even though you were trailing by a point, the game was still, right where you wanted it. You don't push the issue. Just go.
And watching it, he flips his headset sort of up and down the microphone part of it, meaning when he threw the red flag, he was talking to someone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like it's very simple for – I mean, how many guys have they got up there? One of them to say, Bill, it's on 71. It's not on the right tackle. Pick it up or tell him never mind. And again, they would have let him pick it up. So there's just that to me is the stuff that I just get fixated on because they've been so good at that for 20 years. I mean, never mind the too many men and the delay of game and that sort of stuff. It's been happening all year, Greg.
And it's, look, you are right to bring it up because they are no longer good enough, especially without the quarterback here, to overcome that. You know, they need to have that stuff buttoned up because they can't afford to, you know, be bad in any one area. They need to be buttoned up. And right now they just aren't totally, you know, can they get there? We'll see.
Okay. You're all lined up for Greg Bedard, I promise. Let's zip through you here. Joe in Maine, what do you got?
Yeah, so I was just wondering why they have Stevenson playing like every other week. Is it a competition between him and Taylor every week? And what determines who plays and why?
Good question.
Good question, Joe. I would assume, I don't know this, I would assume that some of it has to do with practice. I think that Stevenson being down after he had a good game to me indicates that they weren't happy with something off the field with him. You know, it could have been his study, it could have been practice, it could have been late one day, I don't know, something like that. That's just what it smelled like to me. I think that a lot of times they are now matchup guys. I thought that I was in favor of Taylor playing against the Jets. I was also in favor of Stevenson being active for this game. So I think they are now to the point where both of them are matchup players.
And is Brandon Bolden going to be a real piece in this offense going forward, not just a punt cover guy?
Apparently.
I mean, apparently, right? Jack in Plymouth. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. What do you got?
So I just wanted to talk about the possibility of Allen Robinson of the Chicago Bears going to the Pats. And I also wanted to just quickly ask you, what do you think about the Packers trade deadline and what they should do?
Okay, you're going to have to – no one wants to hear my Packers trade deadline talk. I don't think they should do anything. You're not going to get that from me. What about Allen Robinson here to the Patriots?
So Allen Robinson, and this sort of goes into any boundary receiver that you asked me about, that, you know, if they have to pay anything. Look, they already have Nelson Agholor. They paid him a bundle in the offseason. A lot of these guys, they could have thought DeSean Jackson, Allen Robinson, they probably could have tried to pay for. I think he's under the franchise tag this year. They decided to sign Nelson Agholor. Now, you finally have an offense that is making strides every week. Everybody's sort of getting on the same page. A, you're going to introduce somebody new that has to be brought up to speed. B, you're going to introduce somebody that that is redundant to Agholor. So what happens, say you get DeSean Jackson, say you do that, or Allen Robinson, whoever you want.
How about Brandon Cooks? A guy who
knows. Or Brandon Cooks, who knows same thing. What do you do with Agholor? Agholor is the X on this team. That's where he plays. Now what do you do with him? Do you just move him to the other side of the field? Now what does that do to Kendrick Bourne? Now what does it do to Jakobi Meyers?
I'm against getting another receiver.
Me too.
Yeah, so am I. I am completely against it. Unless it's a speedy slot receiver. That's the only thing I'm interested
in.
Yeah,
right. But I'll say it for the millionth time. I think you have enough there. I do. That's not to say that it's great or the best or is over the top or some sort of game-changing pass-catching crew, but I think you have enough.
Just real quick. The Patriots spent all offseason. They knew what they had and what they didn't have after last year. They went into this offseason. They had an open checkbook. They could spend and acquire anybody they wanted to. They signed Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, Jonnu Smith, and Hunter Henry. That's your team.
Okay, and not to snap at that caller.
Not to snap at.
No. On the Packers thing, I would have been in if they had done the Von Miller thing. Like, I mean, I sort of think the Packers are in the mode to, they should be renters. They should be renting a guy to win a championship this year.
Yep.
Because after this year, Dingleberry there is probably going to walk away or they're going to trade him or something's going to happen. You have to sort of reset and start over. And so this is it. Load up. Go for it. Get a good rental in there. That's what and you can pick the position. Wayne in Colorado. What do you got, Wayne?
Yeah. Hey, remember how when Gilmore went to Carolina and everybody was really upset?
Yes.
What about Carolina? Why don't they send something to the Patriots to make up for us sending Gilmore to them?
Why do they have to make anything up? They already did.
Yeah, here's more because you wanted to make a bad deal in the first place.
They made the trade. Like, what are you bitching about?
I don't understand.
What, out of the goodness of their heart because you're an idiot? And I don't mean you, the caller, yeah, but,
no,
you know.
No, I do.
Like, seriously, what? Like, we beat you on the trade, so we're going to be nice and give you something more? Go to hell. No.
No shot. You cheaped out on the player. You pissed him off. He didn't want to be with you. Now he's with us. Suck on it. We'll see you Sunday.
Who's that, Belichick's kid who just called? What the hell was that?
More your phones after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
The beauty of business is its ability to solve human problems and to bring those solutions to scale.
Bentley University President Ela Brent Kreit explains how good business can make the world a better place.
Bentley is uniquely positioned to prepare students for a 21st century marketplace. The intersection of business and the arts and science is where magic can occur. That's what we do. That's what we bring to the table. And that's the difference at Bentley.